Might need some adjusting.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host James Haskell and, of course, DK in the background running the sticks. Welcome back to another live edition. We're excited to be here as day three of Ravens mandatory mini camp came to an end today. And Jimbo, we've reached that period in time where there's no basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hockey.
Mm-hmm.
There's no football for the next, 4 weeks. Only baseball, and football is all we're hoping for now is that nobody gets in trouble and nobody sustains any injuries, right?
Absolutely. And I know we'll talk about this in a little bit. We had some scares today.
Mm-hmm.
Had some scares today, which seem to have broken right, not broken bad, right? So I'm glad to see that that's turning in the right direction. But yeah, at this point, it's all viewing everything under a microscope, speculation, prediction, projections, contract talks, who's happy, who's not. But there is a ton to talk about, as there always is in the NFL and specifically with the Ravens. So I think the way that, you know, my thoughts, Glenn, just like our show on Tuesday, talk about like some news and notes, of course, from the on the field play and then the players that weren't on the field noticeably. And then we'll talk about the pressers, right? I think that those three big pieces are going to be really important. But one thing I want to do, Glenn, is I want, because I realized we didn't do this on Tuesday, I want to give some space for a second. I want to talk about the O's a little bit.
What?
Yeah, I want to talk about the O's.
Hell?
Yeah,
you?
Yeah, well, look.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, well, let me rephrase that. I want to give some of my opinions on the O's, but I want to hear you talk to me about the Orioles.
Oh, okay, okay. That makes sense.
I have
sense.
Some opinions, but I want to hear you enlighten me when it comes to the Orioles, because I'm still on the fence, you know, as far as my viewership goes. But, yeah. Suck me in, Glenn. What am I doing here? Oh, look
Whoa,
at this.
Hold on now. Hold on now. Don't make that statement.
Well, you know, bring me
show.
In here.
Okay, there we go. All right, cool. So I appreciate the graphics change. So the Orioles get back to their winning ways today. They snapped a 5-game win streak yesterday with a loss to the Blue Jays as their pitcher, Braxton Berry, like 6 innings of no-hit ball before finally giving up a couple hits. So he was just phenomenal. So the Orioles fell yesterday, but bounced quickly back today, won their 1 o'clock game today, 4-2 over the Blue Jays, moving them to 43-25 on the season, Jimbo. I mean, that's just absolutely insane. Adley Rutschman has a big day at the plate, goes 3-for-5, has a home run, has an RBI.
Did I see correctly? Was that beer that he was chugging out of the...
No, it's a Homer hose. That's water. All right. They're all about hydration.
All right. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. H2O,
I thought
baby.
That was like the beer cup. You know what I'm talking about?
It very much so looks like a beer bong, but it is water, is what they say. H2O, baby. They're preaching hydration. So
the Jordan juice.
Exactly. This Mike special stuff. Yeah. That's... So Austin Hayes continues to just be amazing this year. He has a batting average over 300. Yep. He had a home run today that extended the lead, gave him a little bit of breathing room heading into the ninth inning with an eighth inning solo shot. Gunnar Henderson, you know, only had one hit today, but it was a big hit. Got the Orioles on the board for their first run. And as he continued his just amazing streak, really, since he's come back from the back injury that it kept him out for a game or two. Jimbo, what's crazy about the O's, man, and look, we're going to get into a lot of Ravens talk, so just bear with us here for those who are only here for that. But what's crazy to think about with the Orioles is they are – if it wasn't for – what's up?
What? Look at my background, dude.
Dang, Jimbo. but what's crazy, if the daggone Tampa Bay Rays weren't having just this ridiculous season, then – the only thing anybody would be talking about is the Baltimore Orioles.
Yep.
So team in the league, it just so happens that they're also the second best team in their own division, because the Tampa Bay Rays have just been unbelievable all season. So they're still, despite being the second best team, 5 games back of the Tampa Bay Rays, who are, they're 31-7 at home, Jimbo, the Rays.
Yeah, it's insane.
So if you put them aside, they're the best team in the league, and you know I can only hope that the Tampa Bay Rays come back to earth in some way. But it's very much so that the Orioles are showing it doesn't matter who they're playing, where they're playing them. I mean, look, the O's are 21-12 on the road, Jimbo. Like, this is a team that is just you know, they're just ready to, I think they're ready to win now. You know, they're just as good at home as they are on the road. There's no real drop off. And they got so much young talent that if they can choose to bolster their lineup with either promoting young guys or using some of that, you know, young talent to trade and go get an established veteran, which I think is the more likely path. And so I'm hopeful that they go, that they're going to be aggressive at the trade deadline, Jimbo, because they are that good.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And it's going to be really fun to see this. Okay. As much as it's been for Elias, it's been a revelation to have him here, and it's been fun to watch him get it right time after time after time with a lot of these picks and see these guys develop so quickly in front of our eyes. It's even getting a guy like me excited. But I think at the deadline, this could be a moment, right? Like a real moment, depending on where we are, what the strategy is moving forward, and what type of moves he makes to get us to the next step, right? To get us over the top and things like that. That's going to be really exciting. That's got me excited to watch. You know, August 1st comes around. What are the Orioles doing? Like you said, they have a lot of chess pieces. What can they do with it? And how can they best leverage what they have?
There's no way. No one could beat us in a trade. Like, we have so much better of a farm system than anyone else. That's what's so exciting. Like, if there's a big fish, no one can outbid us for that big fish unless we just choose to not go.
Right. Unless we like our guys.
Yep.
It's a great place to be in. Absolutely.
No doubt.
No, I'd agree with you 100%. I'm excited about the O's. Last thing I want to talk about the O's before we get back to the Ravens, of course, is what's next? Who do they have on the docket? Do you know schedule-wise who they got upcoming, what they got going on from a scheduling standpoint?
Let's see here. Well, I know they're going to play the Cubs next because it's unique that, you know, the Cubs are one of those teams that they, for the longest time, they didn't even have lights in their stadium, Jimbo, because they like the nostalgia and the feel of playing. Even though they've added lights, they still play the majority of their games during the day, you know, to kind of keep the tradition alive. So I know that their next series is going to be in Chicago playing at old Wrigley Stadium.
Hot and sticky. You better believe that.
Oh, is it? I mean, you know better than me. I'm not.
Dude, let me tell you what. We think it's hot and sticky on the East Coast. Nothing like hot and sticky in the Midwest, man.
Really? I didn't see. I had no idea. So So Chicago is. Wow. Huh. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. So after they take on, after they leave Chicago, they're going to go take on the Tampa Bay Rays. So that's going to be a big series. Only a two-game, kind of a truncated series. But it's in Tampa, and so that'll be kind of a nice little early season test to see where they're at versus the best team in the league. And then they got a bunch of really winnable games after that. So we'll see where the Orioles are, you know, end up when it's all said and done near the trade deadline. But I'm thinking that they're going to be right there in the mix. And why not go add a big time starter to that rotation? I really don't think they need much help in the bats. Like, I think they got the help in the bat from the, you know, in the bats department down on the farm. Mm-hmm. But I just don't, with Grayson Rodriguez's struggles. I mean, he's still struggling to locate down on the farm, which is super disappointing. And I hope he can kind of bounce back. But the arms is the only thing that's got me a little bit. Although they've been pitching well lately. I mean, Tyler Wells has been phenomenal. Gibson. But it just, you kind of wonder if, do they have that ace? Because it's, you know, most sports, strategy changes when the playoffs comes around, just like basketball. You know, benches get a lot shorter in the NBA playoffs. You know, they're not playing 10 guys in the playoffs. Just in college, the same way. Well, in Major League Baseball, you're not going to see your fourth or fifth starter in the playoffs. Typically, they're going to run their first, second, and third on short rest because that's their. So the question is, can we compete with the first, second, and third starters of the elite teams around the AL, and I'm not so sure we're there yet.
Yeah, well, I'm saying we are, Glenn. I'm saying we are.
I like it. Just Trevor Bauer, stop it, Tony.
Yeah, I know. Even I know that's.
Yeah. Like, heck no.
Let's not even go there. I'm just pure fandom. I'm saying we're there, and it'll be fun to see what happens at the trade deadline. But
yeah,
on to the Ravens as my
green screen is collapsing around you. Yeah. Worlds are coming shattering down around you, Jimbo. You can't let that screen go. It's like the Wizard of Oz.
That's
pay
right,
no man. Attention to the man behind the curtain.
Just so you know, my green screen's balanced on my head right now. Literally, I'm balancing my green screen.
Jimbo, you're giving away too many of the trade secrets here.
It's okay. We're letting you guys behind the curtain.
Yep.
But this team's exit.
But yeah, we got a lot to talk about when it comes to the Ravens, right?
Yep.
You know, third day of minicamp. It wasn't so much what was on the field as much as it was, you know, what was spoken in the press conference, at least from me. Now, there were some things on the field that we're certainly going to get into, but I guess the best place to start is who wasn't able to participate, yes. Jimbo, and then we'll kind of go from there. So the first name that we're going to get right into after I finish this list, J.K. Dobbins, not participating in today's minicamp. Pat Ricard, which we're going to get into for injury purposes, not participating. Odell Beckham Jr. I tell you what, Jimbo, I don't know how you felt when you heard he wasn't participating, but I was certainly thankful to hear the reason in which for which he wasn't participating. Then Rashad Bateman, of course, no shocker there. This one had me a little nervous too. Ronnie Stanley didn't participate today. And then neither did Rashad Nichols, Deshaun Phillips, or cornerback Pepe Williams. Again, not a shocker there. But, Jimbo, how worried were you? Or first, I guess I should ask, when you saw Odell wasn't practicing, did you immediately see why, or did you just see that he wasn't practicing?
Yeah, I immediately saw why and just kind of chuckled, right? So it made me feel a little better. But I'm not too worried about Ronnie. It sounds like you're a little nervous about him, but it just sounds like he got stepped on, and he just decided to – dude, I'm a vet. Like, I don't need to be out there today, you know.
Well, I was worried like I was with Odell.
That it could be something worse.
Yeah, until I heard. Because Ronnie all of a sudden, when he's healthy, not participating? That kind of had me nervous. And then I heard he got stepped on, but then I didn't hear anything else. But it sounds like it was just precautionary with Ronnie.
Yeah, I'm actually happy with the precaution that I think. I mentioned this before. I think this might be the most precaution that John is encouraging his players to have, I think, in a long time, at least publicly. I'm okay with it. Not that John is, you know, Tom Thibodeau?
Yeah, Tibbs.
Yeah, and not that he's Thibodeau and he, like, you know, he ruins guys' careers by any stretch.
Runs guys into the ground.
Yeah, i.e. my favorite player, Derrick Rose, who just ruined his career. Thanks, Tibbs. But anyway, point is that I think it's good that John has kind of come full circle with this, and I think we may see some changes in camp. Look, learning from the past is one of the smartest things you can do, and getting an F, John has to take some of that, right? Like, I understand that's somebody else's job, but
for sure,
the coach, ultimately the buck stops with the coach, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, this guy knows everything that's going on in the building, so whatever F minus was doing, John knew about it.
Yeah,
John was on board, you know, so
he wasn't sure what was stopping it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and a shout out to Nana, shout out to Jimmy. What's going on, Chef? Appreciate you coming out last time. Tony, Tanja, appreciate you coming out. Lisa, as far as Stanley, I guess Nana, you missed it. Stanley got stepped on by another player, and so middle of practice, so he decided to take the day. So it sounds like no big deal, but still. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, boy, here we go. But then if anyone didn't hear, Odell Beckham Jr. apparently ate some bad fish, and it didn't agree with his stomach.
Yeah, apparently Jimmy Seafood is throwing some shade over here because he didn't go to Jimmy Seafood. He apparently went to Buy the Docks Seafood.
Well, who said he went? Did he say he went to Jimmy's?
No. What I mean is that Jimmy's wants players going there, right?
It's like he wants to make it clear, like, hey, look, he went to that place. You should.
Yeah.
Be
well,
here.
There's a post about it. It says, "Great day with Odell. Shout out to Buy the Dog Seafood Restaurant for bringing food to us." And then Jimmy Seafood retweeted it and said, "Thought you had something special with this tweet, huh?"
That's good, man.
Yeah,
I like that. I love the competitiveness.
They wanted to make it very clear. This was not
That's
us.
Good. Yeah, this is not. Wow, interesting. But first of all, I've never even heard of that place. I mean, maybe they're bigger than I know of, but I've never heard of them. So I'm surprised he went there. But what Pat Ricard had hip surgery, which was kind of news to me.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's why he hasn't been participating. He's going to start he'll start training camp on the PUP list, Jimbo. So apparently it was pretty decent surgery. Does this make you think that it's even less likely or more of an uphill climb for Pat Ricard to make this roster?
Yeah. I mean, goodness, what do you do with a guy like Pat? Right. I want to know what Monken is really thinking when it comes to Pat Ricard. You know what I mean? Obviously he hasn't seen him play. Hasn't had the opportunity to see him move around and see how mobile he is and things like that. But yeah, I wonder if deep down, if there's already decisions being made or already decisions that have been made that Pat's kind of known about, or it'll be really interesting. Look, Pat's a fan favorite. Everybody here loves Pancake Pat. Yep. It would be tough if we saw him go, but like you said, it is difficult to see him with a value that, you know, high enough that requires him to be on this roster under this new offense. It's just, it's going to be a struggle.
With his paycheck, because look, people are saying, well, you know, because he looks bigger. Apparently they say he looks like he's put on some weight, put on some muscle, which tells me he might be transitioning to a full-time blocking tight end role here. Hmm. And maybe his avenue on the roster, because it does look like that's a bit of a void on the roster. We don't, we see three pass catchers, but not necessarily that, that blocker who's supposed to be, you know, ready to help down in the red zone and be that extra tackle and all that stuff. But it's like, man, you're really going to carry four tight ends and, man, I don't know, man. I kind of have my doubts, but let's see what happens. And maybe he'll find, because look, what I would do if I'm GM, I'm going, I'm not going to pay my blocking tight end who I'm rarely going to really need all that money that Pat Ricard's making as a all pro fullback. I'd rather get some, you know, some no namer who can block off the street so I can pay the vet minimum to. I guess it'll all come down to, do they have desires to spend money elsewhere? But
yeah, or do they see more value in Pat than we are recognizing? Yep. You know,
very true. Yep. Absolutely. Really interesting. Before we get into these camp notes, Jimbo, I think we got to take a second. You know, it looks like news is breaking today that Ray Lewis III, Ray Lewis's son, who played like his father at the University of Miami, has passed away at the age of 28. TMZ's reporting that. Have not seen a cause of death being reported, but man, I know this has got to be just the most difficult time for Ray and his family. I saw some tweets from Ray Lewis III's siblings, and they talked about how, you know, he's not in pain anymore, and man, it just, I can't imagine losing a child. I don't care if he's an adult at this point or not. I'm sure Ray is going through some pretty tough times, and with Father's Day right around the corner, this is something that unfortunately will probably be a constant reminder every Father's Day. Mm-hmm. And so, man, it really stinks, man. It's anybody dying at 28 is far, far too young. So, man, feel bad for his family, his friends, and, you know, all his loved ones.
Yeah, 100%. It's just an unfortunate situation. It's just an unnatural thing to watch somebody younger than you that, you know what I mean, go before you, that, you know, ultimately in his scenario, you know, it was his son, right? But whether it's a son or a grandson or cousin, a nephew or something, right? To see someone that much younger than you go when you know they have so much life ahead, it's just a miserable thing. So, you know, hopefully they find some comfort in whatever avenues, you know, they do so to find that peace. But yeah, man, that's just a tough one.
Well, I know Ray certainly has a strong faith, so hopefully that'll help get him through.
Absolutely.
This insanely difficult time. And it's hard to transition back to the field, but we're going to try and do just that and talk about what we saw on the field before we get into the press conferences.
Yeah.
Also, DK pointed it out, and I guess before we move too terribly past it, Kyle Hamilton did have a brief injury scare today.
Yep.
Ultimately ended up walking it off and returned to practice and ended up making a red zone interception after it. So another scare that – looks like it's turned out to be just that, just a scare, and he was already back on the practice field. So shout out to Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that one was the one that made me the most nervous until I read it all. I was like, all right.
We cannot. Oof, man, that would be a tough loss. But
big time.
On a good note, Charlie Kohler apparently had the best catch of the day today, Jimbo. I can see the smile on Kadri's face right now. he had a one-handed touchdown catch over Roquan Smith in the red zone.
Hey, well, look, that can't be new territory to him. All you got to do is throw it up as high as a skyscraper. Right? Like,
it's like when I played basketball against my brother.
Yeah, like, just throw it high, dude. Like, what do you – you don't even have to jump. Like, Roquan probably could have jumped as high as he wanted, and Kohler was still going to come down with it, right? So – no, that's awesome, though, because this is what we want. This is what we're hoping for, right? Like, the more these guys emerge at the tight end position, the more they scratch and claw to compete with Mark and push him forward, the better all three of them are going to be. So this is exciting news, man. I'm glad to hear it and hope it continues to be the case once the pad comes on and things like that. Yeah, it's just really exciting stuff to see. Now,
do you think it's that impressive over Roquan? I mean, DK, I know you had some graphic earlier. I mean – it's not like we're talking about Matt Milano, right? I mean, we're only talking about – he only made that catch over Roquan, right? I mean, I'd be impressed if he made it over Matt Milano. As PFF has pointed out, Matt Milano is the best linebacker in the AFC, not the all-pro, all-world
Pro Bowl, Roquan everything Smith. Else.
Yeah, I find that awfully interesting because I know most Ravens fans remember Matt Milano the same way I do.
Yeah.
Which was collapsing like a folding chair as Lamar put one of those on him.
Yeah.
So I just found that very interesting that Matt Milano was the best linebacker. I mean, he's a good linebacker, but
yeah, I'll take Roquan. I'll tell you what, PFF does it again, man. Another slight to the Ravens. They never cease to amaze. I don't know why I'm still paying them, but here I am paying them. This is just craziness to me. I mean, this might be, all of them are just so egregious. I don't know. I mean, I think this is even a bit more egregious than the Ronnie Stanley thing, which was also egregious. Ronnie's not a top 10 tackle. Get out of here. That's ridiculous. Crazy. But with him being injured the past two seasons,
you had something to lean on.
Yeah. But this is just ridiculous. I mean, yeah, it's funny to me because Milano just that he folded like a cheap chair at the prospect of going one-on-one with Lamar Jackson. Like literally all Lamar did was look left and look right. And that's all it took, and he just dropped. Like, gosh, that was just really stupid. I mean, I don't get that one. It's just idiotic. I mean, it has to be them. They have to have a problem with the Ravens at this point, right? Somebody in there hates some Steelers fan.
Maybe they're just trolls, man. Trolling? No, it couldn't be a Steelers fan because they put Myles Garrett as the best edge.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, which I don't think is the case either. I mean, as much as I don't like the Steelers, TJ Watt's clearly the best edge in the AFC. I don't think it's I mean, I guess he's close, but he's ridiculously productive. It's at insane levels.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't even like the guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he belongs in the UFC.
Yeah, but anyway, I had to throw that little jab.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was well timed, Glenn.
Yeah, because that was absolutely hilarious. But another thing I wanted to get your take on, the left guard position's been kind of a hot topic, and I know that I think Cordell Woodland said that John Simpson was getting the bulk of the first team reps last week or the final OTAs, but. This week, we've been seeing a lot of rookie
Sala.
Okay, Sala, the rookie O-lineman from Oregon, who was drafted, you know, he played right tackle at Oregon, but he's been getting starting reps at left guard, and from all accounts, he's looked like a starter. Like, when he goes in there, it doesn't look like a rookie's going in there. He's looked good. He's looked athletic. He can bend his knees. He's got good balance. He's obviously as big as a house and strong. And so I guess my question to you, Jimbo, is this all going to come down to just simply when the pads come on, can he handle the physicality of the game? Because
That's exactly my concern. Just his overall strength and ability in his base, right, to avoid – you know, to avoid being bull rushed by these guys and absorb the contact. But I'm glad to hear that because look, as many guys as we can have in the coffer, right, to bring out the best in somebody, we absolutely need it. So look, the Ravens have done a great job at drafting the mid rounds for those inside offensive linemen. So I'm not surprised by it, but I am surprised that I guess what I'll say is I'll be more surprised if we keep hearing these comments about him. I'll be encouraged, but also a bit surprised because I think that he needs a little bit more time to get some more strength under him before he has that role. But look, he just like you said, he played tackle in college. So I think being able to move inside and have superior athleticism in comparison to a lot of other guys that play guard, because you have to be more athletic to play tackle, is an immediate advantage. And it might help shorten his learning curve. Because now he's got less range to worry about. You know what I mean? And got guys on both sides of him to help him. So, yeah, well, it'll be exciting to see. I mean, like you said, he's as big as a house.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, no lack of size on the O-line. I'm encouraged. So that's great news. I did not expect to hear that.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's the reason he's got the lead. Like, we really haven't seen much of Ben Cleveland because he just doesn't have the athleticism needed. Right. So it's like when he was in there, see, the deceiving part is when he was forced to be, he graded out well. Mm-hmm. And the reason he graded out so well is because the Ravens eliminated parts of their playbook that he could not do. So yeah. While he was out there, they only ran the plays that they felt like he could actually do. And when they put him in that role, he can look really good in that role. But the problem is it eliminated so much of what they could do because he's just not athletic enough to get up and move.
Yeah.
So I think having a guy who can move, who also has the, you know, the strength, the toughness, the balance, the bend, all that stuff, just opens up a bigger amount of plays that you can actually use. Whereas when Cleveland's in there, it kind of shrinks things down a little bit.
Yeah. Isn't it great? It's just amazing to me that we don't say those things about Falele. We haven't seen those. And he's bigger. Like he just carries it so much different. Ben Cleveland might need to go into like strongest man competition type stuff.
Yep. Yep.
You know, he might be too big for his own need.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Or for his own good, excuse me. But Falele just carries it so much differently, right?
Like it's like you always said about them Polynesian athletes, dude, man.
Yeah.
They're athletes.
Yeah. Doesn't matter the size. Yeah. It just is what it is. Like, yeah. Yeah. Ned, no doubt at all, man. It's just, it's incredible stuff. All right. So what other, well, I mean, there's some other news and notes from the field. What else you got that's standing out to you? I mean, I got some stuff, but we'll keep it rolling here. What you got, Glenn?
Well, as far as the only, it looks like it was kind of a light day. Yeah. It wasn't a lot of things being asked from these guys. So it was kind of, as far as on the field, it was tough to get a lot of big notes coming out of there. but I will say this, the expectations of what everyone's saying is that this defense is going to be so fast. And that, yeah. And I love hearing that because speed is so, I mean, you can't teach it. And there's constant, like teams are always looking for how to get speed at every position. They want to get bigger, faster, and stronger. Well, this might be the fastest defense we've seen the Ravens have in a long, long time. And every team is trying to get faster. So you better match it on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it just seems like this team has got so many good athletes at every, I mean, just look at the athletes they have at edge, at the athletes they have at linebacker, in the secondary. There's freaks everywhere on the field from an athletic standpoint. And man, that speed I think is going to pay off in the long season that's coming up soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one thing I did want to ask you, though, Glenn, is this a I kind of spring this one every once in a while, but is this a something, a nothing, or an everything? This I've now out of 2 of the 3 days, I've seen Andy Isabella's name. Multiple yeah. people. Is that a nothing? Is that a something? Like, he keeps hanging around. You know what I mean? And then last year, we kind of wonder, why isn't he getting used, right? And then all of a sudden, Monken comes in, a guy that maybe can get more out of him. We all know that he's got this breakout, incredible speed. And in spurts, we've seen moments out of him throughout his career. Like, yeah. Is there anything there? Is this a something to you? Is this a nothing to you? Like, I think everyone's written him off that he's not making this team. Where are you at with Andy Isabella?
I mean, I'm kind of in that camp with all them when I say, you know, how does he make this team? You know, like, is there... I don't see an avenue. The only way I would say is if Todd Monken's offense, he just fits it. Like Andy Isabella, yeah. that what he needs is a guy that is, you know, just like him. But I would think that on our team, I think we have better versions of him. Like I feel like Devin Duvernay is better than him. Like he's a better returner. I think everything we've seen from a receiving standpoint. I mean, I remember those first 6 weeks, Jimbo. He was making play after play from the receiver position until Bateman went down and they had a whole different, you know, attention level on him when there was nobody opposite him. So I think it's insanely it's a really long stretch to think he can make the team, but I don't think I think he's a almost shoo-in for the practice squad, and I can't imagine another team going, I'm going to sign him to our active roster. So I think he's a shoo-in on the practice squad. So as soon as a return guy's needed, you know, help on special teams and maybe at receiver, maybe he'll get a call up. But I think practice squads is his ceiling.
Fair enough. It'll be really interesting to see. I mean, he could be a dark horse, though. Just keep your eye out there. Like you said, if there's a scheme fit and he really is able to fulfill that need, it'll be interesting to see. Just as a side note, you know, just so you guys know, like, as we do the show, generally speaking, we'll, like, I mean, at least I know I do this. I think Glenn does the same thing. I'll kind of, like, bop over to Twitter just to make sure I'm not missing anything as things move on. I just saw the title of a clip from Pat McAfee, a portion of the show today. Now, they have a lot of Steelers fans that work for the Pat McAfee show. So they're a little biased and things like that. But Kenny Pickett is incredibly athletic, incredibly all caps.
Who said this?
This is a clip on the Pat McAfee and who's
he's an athlete. You know, he's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Is incredibly athletic relative to his peers.
Well, now you're asking a different question, Jimbo.
Really?
But he did have some sneaky quickness and athleticism, Jimbo.
Get out of here with that. Maybe I'm just jaded because our quarterback has more athleticism in his sneaky finger. Like, just waking up out of bed. Lamar Jackson can wake up out of bed, having slept for an hour, go to McDonald's, eat, like, a McMuffin and some hash browns, keep his slides on, and still be more athletic than Kenny Pickett.
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I know DK loves I know he watches Chris Sims a lot, and I think I heard Chris Sims say that Lamar Jackson is like, almost as good a runner as Justin Fields. Or he's on the heels as a runner of Justin Fields.
Wait, that Lamar Jackson is not as good of a runner as Justin Fields.
Correct.
Did he have, like, solid
Justin? No, he just kind of went, if I remember correctly, that was actually when he was talking, because he ranked Lamar as the number five best quarterback, and he basically said it's the only one, like, Fields is the only one who's better. And I'm like, to me,
yeah,
nobody's better than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, elusiveness, I don't care. Running back, receiver, put them all up. He's better than all of them. So I was shocked to hear. Now, Justin Fields is a good runner, but.
Yeah, I think Lamar's still in a different category. I think Justin Fields might be the best runner for like, you were talking for, like, comparing him to other quarterbacks, but you add Lamar to that conversation, just like you said, then you have to widen the scope to running backs, wide receivers, because Lamar's in a different. Like a different sphere of that conversation.
He's better than McCaffrey in the open field.
I would argue with
Saquon
you on that one.
Barkley. He's better than all of them in the open field.
I hear you, but the fact that that's even an argument already tells you that no other.
And if you look at forced missed tackle rate, no one's close to Lamar.
Yeah, that's
look
fair.
At his career and look at forced missed tackle rate.
Yeah,
he's the best.
Yeah,
against anybody in the whole league, dude.
Yeah,
and people say, well. And so I saw somebody comment when he said that, somebody, because I saw this stat on Twitter, and they said, well, it's easier from a quarterback standpoint to, Milano. Yeah, somebody said, when they said Lamar was by far the highest as far as forced missed tackles, somebody commented and said, well, it's easier to run from the quarterback standpoint. And the very next comment was the original poster saying, the next 12 guys on that list aren't quarterbacks.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. I'll tell you what, I'll say... Yeah, I mean, the fact that, once again, that this is an argument is that he's even being compared to two dynamic running backs that are so incredible in the open field already tells you that no other quarterback belongs in the conversation. The most incredible play I see from Lamar Jackson is, you're talking about elusivity. Everyone talks about that he is Houdini, all those other things. Do you remember the Seattle game? I think they had if I remember correctly, it was either like a corner blitz or a safety blitz, but it was a defensive back that came in off the edge. Lamar had his back to him. Did a full turn from a stop, right? This guy's running full speed. Did a full 180, right? And then from a stop, outran a guy who, a defensive back, who was already running full speed. Like, that blew my mind. Because you see these guys kind of slip and do these 180s and spin out, like, on outside linebackers or, you know, defensive linemen. Not DBs. DBs are supposed to be, like, some of the fastest guys on the field. Lamar, from a dead stop, just sizzle. And was gone. I mean, that was just, So I agree with you. I think he gets the edge. Yeah, that's just insanity. Come on, Chris. Yeah. You know better than that.
Yeah, and I respect Chris's. He's always been fair with the rankings. I don't think he's.
Yeah. Well, that's a worse take than saying Kenny Pickett's incredibly athletic, though. You can't say that.
He just threw it in. Like, to me, it was like kind of just a throw in. Like, they didn't even pause and talk about it. But he was saying it as he was kind of heaping praise on Lamar. And,
right.
But, I was like, whoa, that was an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah.
And then also wanted to quickly mention Tyus Bowser should be ready during for training camp. He was working off to the side on the today in the final day. Apparently, his knee flared up as he was at full speed, and then he had a little knee flare up. So they're keeping him out for precautionary purposes. So, yeah, he should be good. But Jimbo, we got to get into it.
Yep, let's do it. It's about time.
What the hell is going on with J.K. Dobbins? I'm seeing now that apparently he's in a bit of a dust up with Jameson Hensley currently in real time.
Really? On Twitter? Is this happening on Twitter?
On Twitter. This is, apparently there's some.
What we live for, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, there's some beef. Hensley always finds himself in this position, it seems like, with Ravens players. Didn't he have a dust up with Judon and somebody else? I think he's kind of gotten into it, but it looks like, from all indications, that J.K. Dobbins, while he is at the facility, is not participating in the mini camp as he is what's being called a hold. He's doing what's called a hold in. Okay, mm-hmm. He's not away from the facility. He's there. He ain't doing anything. And you can tell by John Harbaugh answering the question that he was a little perturbed about it. I had it queued up here. Let me see. I think I do. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to put this up. That way you guys can see.
Yeah, and DK has the interview with Viviano.
Oh, perfect. Okay, good. Okay, so this was Coach's reaction to the question of, why is JK not out there? Why have we not seen him? Is there a reason he's not participating? So here's the question. Tell me when it's over, Jimbo, because I can't hear it.
Yep. He gets close to camp. So the time is coming. Let's roll.
John, we haven't seen J.K. out there the last 3 days. Do you have any update on him?
I really don't. I expected J.K. to practice, and it wasn't in the cards, apparently. So we just get ready for training camp.
It's over. Yeah. And I think you're going to say this already, Glenn, but I think you and I had the same reaction when I read this first, and then this was one of the ones, like, I went back and made sure that I understood this and didn't read it differently than it was spoken, but it was spoken exactly like I thought. Or it read, and it was just, John is basically saying, just like you said, I expected him there. He wasn't there. What the heck?
Exactly.
Like,
he's here. He's right there.
Yeah.
Not on the field.
Yeah. What the heck? And I think that John's pretty smart. Sorry. Pablo says, shout out to the single Ukrainian women in your area. That's hilarious. That's so awesome. That's why DK was staying full screen. But yeah.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that on the right side there. Sorry about that.
But no, either way, I think that what John does there, I like, because I don't know if it's passive aggressive, but he's like, eventually he's going to have to be up at this podium. He's going to have to answer for himself. I'm not going to do him any favors. He didn't do me any favors. I ain't doing him any favors.
Yeah, I let's see what DK has here, because I think he's got something pulled up. I want to see what he's got here.
All right.
All the camps were complete. We didn't see you on the field, but you did say some things on social media about wanting to be a Raven. Where do you stand, JK? What can you say?
What the thing I can say is I would love to be a Baltimore Raven for the rest of my career. I would love to, because I love the city. I love the people. It feels like family here. Like, it feels like home here, my second home, and I hope that happens. I hope that happens.
You're a football player, but you have wide-ranging interests and abilities. And in many ways, you have to be a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the business side of what you do, or is it hard?
The business side is very hard. It's very different. It's different. But it's part of it. It's part of the dream, and it's something that I'm blessed with to deal with the business side of that. You saw with Lamar, it's never just roses and daisies. It can be hard at times, and it's business, though. So it's part of the dream, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, this is difficult. JK's in a difficult spot because our team is in transition, right, mm-hmm. offensively. And now that, of course, could help him, right, help his value. But ultimately, our team is still in transition from offensive perspective. And then the running back market is just so devalued right now. Obviously, we talked to us last or on Tuesday. Dalvin Cook, 4,000 yard seasons. He's on the street looking for a job, right? Who else? Jonathan Taylor. Is fresh off of was banged up last year. Still almost broke 1,000 yards and had, I think, 1,800 yards a season before. Multi-purpose yards, right? Or all-purpose yards. Excuse me. Like, there's a lot of guys out there. Saquon Barkley he hasn't signed his tenure. Josh Jacobs hasn't signed his tenure either. So there's a lot of guys sitting out there, and waiting to see what happens at that position. Certainly the league is not wanting to replicate the quarterback market for each running back that hits the
wide receiver market.
The wide receiver, like, someone's going to get the short end of the stick, right? And looks like right now it's the running backs. And so it's not, I don't think it's a J.K. Raven thing. I think it's
let me ask you this. Do you think there's any chance that he's not all in and all in favor of the new Monken offense?
No. No way. Nope. I don't think so, because I think he gets more touches.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think he gets more touches. Right. Obviously, he didn't like Roman.
Well, he didn't like not getting the ball, but he may have liked the offense. He just might not have liked how Roman had this committee look to almost everything. Wouldn't even give guys drives, even if they were cooking. But the problem is, to me, is the JK has no leverage in this. Like,
none. What do you do?
It's not like at least, like, Dalvin Cook's like, dude, I'm coming off four straight 1,000-yard seasons. Like, what is JK's leverage? I have my doubts. Chris White says it's hard to pay JK when we don't know if he's our starting running back. Well, I think if he's there, he's definitely our starting running back.
Yeah. I was trying to interpret this as in, like, does he mean Gus is better? Does he mean we don't know because of the offense? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I just wonder, it's just so hard because we don't know what this offense is really going to look like. Like, JK, like, to me, Gus is like a battering ram. Like, he's a guy you want to give 25 carries to, because those last 7-8 carries, the defense could be having a lot of trouble getting in front of him still.
Yeah, so, their forearms are going to be numb.
Yeah, it's like, is this really the – like, I just want to – I can't wait to see how Monken decides to use these guys, because it just seems like he was such a good fit for Greg Roman's offense. I just want to see – and I think he's got the potential to really play in multiple offenses, but we just haven't seen it. Yeah. But I do think if J.K. is healthy – if all of them are healthy, including Justice Hill, that J.K. is going to be the starter and get the most work.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, ultimately, I think he would be on the field the most. I think that's without a doubt. I sometimes like to, I don't know if I'm any good at it, I like to try and put on my agent hat and think, like, okay, how would I counsel J.K. Dobbins? And maybe this is what would make me not a very good agent. I just don't think aggressiveness is always the best answer. Like, I feel like you can state your case and understand that your employer doesn't agree with you at the time, right? But being detrimental to a team in a team sport, right? I think the less he's out there, the less I think it decreases his chances of having a good season and staying healthy through the season. I think you got to ramp up, right? Like, physically, mentally, all of it, you got to ramp up. And then two, if other teams see you pouting, what is that saying about you? You know what I mean? I don't know what other plays he has. He might feel like this is his only play, but I don't know if I'm his agent, I'd be counseling him to do what he's doing right now. I would say, look, all you can control is what you do on the field, right? Like, if you want, just like, who was it that we had on the show? Wilcox said what Bisciotti told to him. Dude, like, forget the off the field stuff. You want to make money, invest in yourself, go out there and play and you'll 10X that. You know, if JK goes out there and he's the best back in the league, you better believe if it's the Ravens or somebody else, dude's getting paid next year.
Right.
You know, so it's just a tough one, because your pride's on the line with a guy like him. You know what I mean? But sometimes you got to go out there and control what you can control.
And you talked about how, it could rub teams the wrong way. I think you're right. I think other teams could say, well, I don't know if I want to deal with a guy who shows frustration that outwardly, is not able to.
Right.
You know, it seems like when he's frustrated, everyone's going to know about it. And I think that rubs other teams the wrong way and say, I don't know if I want that headache. And then also when you compare him, to even guys on his own team, you see Kevin Zeitler showed up today, participated. And he, in fact, did even interviews with the media. And he was asked about because he wants a new contract too. He's also entering his final year. And they asked him why, you know, why is he there, basically? And he said, well, I love ball, but also when I'm here, it's my obligation to my teammates to right. give it everything I got on the field. So if I am here, I'm giving it everything I got because that's how I'm obligated to my teammates and coaches to do so. Well, JK was there, and I guess he didn't feel those same obligations. Now, I get it that Zeitler's been paid. He's had multiple yeah. contracts in the league. So I understand that JK is really trying to hit that first major contract, but I just wonder, the timing is so not good. Like, man, it just seems like the worst time to make this stand, and the Ravens aren't going to budge. Like, they're not going to fold.
Right.
So I just don't see – he has no leverage, and I don't see the end game. I think he should play his ass off, and that's how he gets paid.
Yeah, stay healthy, play well. Right. Ultimately, that's what you can control. That's what you should do. I agree with you. The other thing, too, is we can't forget about Justice Hill in this whole equation. He had moments last year. We really saw a lot of things we liked out of Hill. And I know that I'm not speaking for myself. I know that you feel the same. We want to see more of that. Now, am I saying that I want him to replace Jake on the field? No. Right. I think Jake is a better player. But ultimately, Munkin's looking at that depth chart like, all right, well, I got another tool in the toolkit here in Justice Hill that's got some overlap in skill set. We'll see how we can work with that, right? So, and then the last thing I'll say about the scenario that makes it tough is that kind of makes me think of Stephon Diggs. So when Stephon Diggs was with the Vikings, he had moments where he would like pout and be demonstrative and do those things on the sideline, whatever. And Stephon Diggs is ultimate competitor, incredible football player. Ultimately, when you go to the Buffalo Bills, everyone puts the blame on who, Glenn, you know, with that relationship between Diggs and the Vikings. Goes to the Vikings, right? Like yeah. it goes. Oh, yeah. But then when you see it happening again with the Buffalo Bills, where does all of that same blame immediately shifts to Diggs? Because now yeah. you are the common denominator, mm-hmm. right? So this is your one chance to pout because you can't do it again because I guarantee you Diggs is, if they really wanted, I don't know what's going on there, but if they wanted to trade him, knowing that he is ruffling feathers, the second team now,
yep.
other teams are much more weary of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you know, this is a one-time card. You can't play this twice, in my opinion.
Yeah, and also, you got guys breathing down your neck. Like, yep. in this offense, I think Justice Hill is going to ball out. But I also think – excuse me. I think there's a chance that Keaton Mitchell could make some plays. This guy is a burner. Mm-hmm. And we don't know like if they're going to be like more valued as a pass catcher or as a runner. Like I have my doubts on whether if everyone's healthy, what the production difference is going to be between Gus and Justice Hill. Because I wonder if like they're going to unlock a beast from a pass catching standpoint. From Justice out there, so we just don't know. So I think he should just, man, you just got to put your head down, ball out, like you said. Yeah. That it'll take care of itself.
And the last thing I want to say about this, Glenn, is that ultimately we want JK to be paid. So like, I think what we're saying is not because we're like pro Ravens anti JK. It's not that. It's that I firmly believe that this is the best path for him to get paid.
Right? And that might be here or elsewhere, but
right, whether it's here or somewhere else, but this is the way you get the bag, dude.
Yeah, and I don't think – how can this lead to more money?
Yeah, I don't think it ever does. Yeah,
I don't get it from here or anywhere.
You got to know your audience. You're talking to a bunch of folks who are from 2, 3, 4 generations before you who were from the lunch pail, fall in line, industrial revolution, like, you know, rank and file people, right? Whining isn't a thing. You know what I mean? You got to know who your audience is. Who are you selling yourself to, right? Like, this is what you're – so, yeah, it's just a tough one. But – all right, well, let's move on. I want to talk about Marlon Humphrey. This is the light side of life, right?
Yeah.
Marlon Humphrey was cracking me up today. He's talking to Bashadi and also EDC, if I'm not mistaken, about Bashadi about love. He's got a special one in his life, and mm-hmm. Feels like he has a close relationship with his bosses, with his direct reports, if you will. But one of the things – I want to talk about a couple things with Marlon here, and one of them is a question from our most important viewer, that, of course, being DK, who's, of course, more than a viewer, right? Like, DK runs this whole show. But DK wants to know, what do you think about Marlowe's leadership, right? Because he's starting to transition into this vet role. According to his presser, of course, he spoke to the team. Can he be a defensive leader ultimately is the question. What do you think about that, Glenn?
Yeah, I love listening to him talk because he's matured. You know, he talked about how when he came into this team, you know, he had guys like Suggs on the team. He had Weddle on the team. You know, he had vets like leaders, just born leaders and true veterans that taught him, you know, how to be a pro, and they taught him what it takes to win. And then he says, he looks around, he goes, damn, I'm the only one, you know, I'm the guy now. I'm the one that has to carry the torch and pass down all that knowledge. And I love the message that he sends. You know, it's like he said, you look at any team and every team's got that core of guys, you know, because he says he looks around, he sees, you know, on offense, he sees Andrews and he sees Lamar and he sees OBJ. And on defense, he sees Rowe and himself and he sees Owe and Ajabo. And he's like, but every team's got that core. And it's really kind of, it's like the work that sets them apart. So he said a quote here. He says, I think to win a Super Bowl, you have to put in a lot of time and effort in. You got this big break and you want to hang out with your dog a lot, or you want to hang out with your girl a lot, talking about this upcoming time off. And he said, try to do as much of that as you can, because when you come back for training camp, we want everyone to put in as much time into football as you can. Mm-hmm. These days, these practices, being in the NFL, it's a very short span compared to the rest of your life. And he even talked about himself, how in years past, he may have not invested as much into work. But he said, look, the offseason is long enough to spend time with your family. When it's season time, full focus has got to be on football. And I love that message, because he said he shared that with the rest of the team before breaking.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And people talk about balance in life, and balance looks a lot of different in different ways, right? And this is basically, to me, what he's preaching is just balance. Is that like, okay, this, you're all in on family. Now you kind of compartmentalize, and now you're all in on ball. And I think that makes it a lot easier for these guys. So, yeah, I think Marlon's going to be a great leader for the team. I think the biggest thing is that Marlon is so bought in on the organization. The Ravens love him. He loves the Ravens. He loves the work ethic. You know, he loves the style. Obviously loves John. And, so anytime you have a guy that's that bought in between him and Roquan and the other pillars they have on the defensive side of the ball, it gets exciting. And so, yeah, I think he can certainly fill into those shoes. You know, Calais is gone now, and so there's going to be a bit more of a need for leadership. Even Chuck is gone as well, another leader on the back end, certainly in his, you know, as far as DBs go. So yep. Marlon's the guy back there, in my opinion, between him and Marcus Williams, but Marlon is the more tenured guy here in Baltimore. So it's going to be really fun to see, man. I always get excited to see Marlowe, but any nerves when you see him going up with OBJ? Any nerves that a brawl is going to break out?
No nerve. Although he did mention that OBJ owes him a jab, or he let him know he's going to at least throw one jab during upcoming training camp.
Who wins in a fight for real?
Marlon.
Yeah, I don't think it's close, right?
I mean, this dude is diesel.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's also a super nice guy. So that you know, but when he's on the field, he's not so nice. So I got to imagine in a fight, he wouldn't be I'd want to tussle with. But I think I can't wait for their camp battles. The only concerns I have is that competitiveness takes over and it gets too physical. And yeah. I just don't want anybody getting their legs tied up or anything like that. Because I think, like, I fully expect Marlon to take his shots at all these top guys, because I think everybody's going to want to take their shot at Marlon. Like, they want to, if I'm OBJ, I want the best guard in me because he's going to make me better. If I'm Zay, I want Marlon. I'm Bateman, I want Marlon, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm excited about, I just think Marlon is such a, like, if you talk about, like, he's the next in that hall of Ravens, like, to me, like, he's the next guy on defense after, because I think it's after Suggs, like, who's been the next guy? I think it's been him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's the one to carry on that torch for, you know, the defenses. So, I'm excited about him, but I'm also, I liked what I heard from Rock Ya-Sin.
Yeah, me too. Talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I love the fact that, he's coming off, you know, probably his two best seasons, right? He's still a very young guy.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about coming here because he spoke with Anthony Averett, you know, former Raven, and I guess it should come as no surprise. I guess it's just like any industry. You know, you're like, hey, where'd you come from? You know, where was your last job? Oh, I was with the Ravens. How was it? And it's just another kind of testament to what the Ravens have built here, how it attracts players. Because I got to imagine a corner with Rocky Sin's age and his play level, he could have gone a few places. You know, I mean, everybody needs good corners, and he chose here. I think he's going to bring a lot to this defense. I just hope that because if him and Marlon stay healthy, then really everyone else can stay in their lane. But yeah, either one of those two, certainly if Marlon go down, it's going to be it's going to make me nervous, Jimbo.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100% there. I'm looking forward to seeing what Marlo does this year and Rock together. The thing that I always forget about Rocky Sin is just like you mentioned, he's a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young guy, and I think a little bit forgotten out there, you know, by the league as a whole. And I think the Ravens kind of took advantage of that. Funny to see that now Marcus Peters looks like he might just be taking a spot there and, you know, with the Raiders. But the door still isn't closed. Ultimately, I do feel comfortable with those two as long as they stay healthy. Now, would I like to have more pieces there? Just like you said, mm-hmm. because two of them could easily go down. Yes. And, you know, we talked about that. But, I feel comfortable with those two there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Rock can do. And just like you said, I liked his reasons for signing. And this might just be player talk. But, you know, just talking about the legacy and talking about the culture and things like that is always important to me, because it's just a way you buy in and really play for the guy next to you. Cause I think unlike other sports, that's really what it takes in football. It's the only way it really works out. So yeah, man. Now I don't know if you got anything else you want to get off your chest, but there's one thing I want to get off my chest that I think was pretty cringeworthy. Anybody else see the Jamar Chase, Pat Hu?
Oh yeah, I did see that.
Really?
Dude, have you ever seen a team that's won absolutely nothing talk
that
about
so much trash?
Like, it's like the Grizzlies almost, like,
yeah,
where you've literally won absolutely nothing. You walk around with your chest out like you're the big dog.
Dude.
Like, chill out. And come on, the audacity. I mean, look, we're Ravens fans. We're Lamar guys.
But
we recognize. Come on.
Yeah. Are you stupid? Yeah, I mean, come on. Why would you even do that? Why? Like, that makes. Yeah. Anyway, stupid. Just Pat wanted Hill. To say. But yeah, the other thing I want to say too is happy Father's Day to you, Glenn. Happy Father's Day to you too, DK. Yeah, man, Father's Day's this weekend. Hopefully you guys have a good one. I know on Father's Day, I'm not cooking and I'm not cleaning.
I know that's right. And Jimbo, happy Father's Day to you as well. And thank to you, DK. I think one thing that, is pretty cool here is that, we all three of us, I think all love being dads, and we take good, a lot of pride mm-hmm. in being fathers. I will say DK's unique in that he's a girl dad, mm-hmm. and that me and you, I always wish I had a little girl. It wasn't in the cards for me. Of course, I wanted my boy, but also I was hopeful at some point to have a girl. It's not going to be in the cards for me, and that's okay. But we all I think our most prideful job is dad, right?
Title like, number one, baby.
Yep.
Title number one, for sure.
Shout out to all the dads out there. Shout out to my father. Can't wait to see you July 4th. It's going to be a great day. I know you got one heck of a dad in Mr. Jim there. Jimbo?
Mr. Jim. There it is. That's right. Yeah, he's a great one. Unforgettable. Oh, yeah. So shout out to him. But yeah man, have a great Father's Day weekend, just like you said, Glenn, to you guys. And then also to I'm trying
Hold
to
on. What did Nana just say? Glenn, you must add and keep your mouth shut. Why? What'd I do, Nana? Dang. Why do I keep my mouth shut?
Maybe we're misinterpreting here. But either way, happy Father's Day. Blessed to be a dad, just like you said, title number one. Have a great weekend to all of you. That's it for us tonight. We'll be back on Tuesday, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
See you.